It's time for the Artist Friends Podcast.
Hi, I'm Diane Hunt. I am an impressionist realist painter connecting with nature through my brush. I work in oil paint and watercolor, and I live in the countryside of Maryland's Eastern Shore, not far from the Chesapeake Bay. You can find me online at dianehuntstudio.com and on Facebook and Instagram at Diane Hunt Studio.
Hi, I'm Constance Brosnan of Steve Brosnan's Jewelry Designs. I live in Oklahoma on a prairie. And I make handmade jewelry in silver, copper, and brass. I'm an artist that paints. I paint pastels and in oil sometimes.
Hello, this is Bob J. Kale. I'm the host of this podcast. I am a emerging representational artist. I do historic renderings, seascapes, landscapes, botanicals, birds, and whatnot. Tight illustrative hand in watercolor, pen and ink, and acrylic paints. And I live in Oklahoma City. Well, hello, this is Clyde J. Kale, and you are listening to another episode of the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 164 for September the 12th, 2022. And I'm here with my two best artist friends, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Constance. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Constance.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Diane. Hello, y'all. How are you doing?
Welcome to another outstanding episode. For our listeners, please go to www.talkartpodcast.com, talkartpodcast.com, and you'll see some information videos that I curated off of YouTube. And for our discussion tonight, we're going to talk about the art market. What is it? And how we as artists work in the art market. So one of the first videos I thought gave a very good overview, and the title is, you know, the art market is full of scams and only for rich people. It can look like that. In fact, I think when I first thought of the art market until I was educated, you know, about it, that's what I thought. That you know, I see these pieces of artwork that would be auctioned off at Christie's for millions and millions of dollars, and I would hear about these artists that are, you know, Damien Hirst and some of the others who are you know, accolades, and they're in museums and big exhibits and everything. And that's what I thought of. Well, that's the art market. But of course, I since then have been educated. And Diane, what's your opinion of the art market?
Well, what you're talking about, it was the art market for years and years. I mean, that's how it used to be. And that there was definite gatekeepers. There was definite, circles that if you didn't get in those circles, you didn't make it into the big galleries and into having big shows and stuff. And, you know, it used to be really such a small percentage of artists would be able to get into that group. And I guess it's still not a very big grouping as far as artists go that are in that high echelon of art where they're getting millions of dollars for paintings. It's still a very small percentage. But things have changed some since then. And they were talking about how art was, you know, they sell it for what they can get it for, basically. it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have an intrinsic value, really. It's just whoever can get the most money for their work, what the market will pay, that's what they get for it. But that only happens if you're in that high echelon, that you can get into those groups that, you know, and they have those contacts into those, like Christie's and Sotheby's and those auction houses. They only
and
let so many people in there.
along with those people is also the group of art critics, and they, you know, they do their write-ups. It's like an industry feeding upon itself, you know. And so the average person, you know, they look at that and they say, well, you know, because they're being told, well, that's great art. Really, it probably isn't. It's just it happened to be represented by somebody with a name in a gallery or a show, and then somebody with another name bought it, and so it just, and then the art became
kind of snowballs.
and became good example. I think we did a biography one time, a video of Rothko, and you know, a lot of people look at Rothko's art, you know, just a single color on a canvas, you know, what's so great about that, you know? And the only reason why his career took off was because one of the Rockefellers bought one of his first paintings for many hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then kept it for a while, and then sold it for several million dollars. And then everybody wanted a Rothko after that, you know? So
yeah, and that's how it generally starts when you go through those galleries to sell your work. Somebody prominent will buy a piece, and then then your name becomes, like you said, starts to become well known, and then everybody wants a piece of your artwork, and your value of art goes up. You know, the value of your work goes up.
And
it's just
not necessarily.
It's really, that is a true, to me, the true thing about being a gatekeeper. Those guys are the Sotheby's and Christie's and. Where did they say they were selling them in Hong Kong? There's a market in Hong Kong. It's the same as the others.
It was one of their houses. Not one of their houses.
Yeah. And once you get to that point where people want your work that much, then they're going to pay, you know, $60,000-$70,000 for a piece of your work.
Well, the thing is too that, I mean, somebody that has an awful lot of money for whatever reason likes that piece of artwork, and then all of a sudden everybody else thinks, oh well, they're paying that much for it, then it must be worth something. So then they want other pieces of that same artist's artwork, and it kind of snowballs. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the artwork is like really good.
It's just, yeah, or is really worth that much. Yeah
it's just their perception, and it's really kind of crazy. But
I think one of the little traps, you know, once an artist gets to that point, then he has to start producing, you know, that quality of work all the time in order to keep up the good work job, you know.
Or he can do like remember a couple of years ago at the Art Basel Miami, the
banana. Was that Duchamp that did that, or is...
I don't know, but it sold it, but somebody bought it for like $10,000 or something like that. You know, it's like, well, and then,
you know what? I would be laughing all the way to the bank. For me.
Remember over, what was it, last year sometime? We watched, we talked about the videos of the Italian artist that was selling negative space, selling air. Remember that? Yeah. He was standing there and it just, you know,
it's all marketing. If you can convince somebody it's worth something,
it is really marketing.
Then they'll pay for it. It's really,
I guess,
crazy.
That's one of the things about having a gallery show your work, because then they say this is how much you should pay for it. But then, you know, from that point on, your work grows in value from that evaluation or appraisal. You know, so
let's take a brief break for a sponsor message, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever looked at an awesome oil painting and wished you could paint like that and bring creativity into your everyday life? Hi, I'm Diane Hunt. I'm a realistic oil painter. And I would love to help you gain skills, build your confidence, and create beautiful paintings that you can be proud of. I'd like to show you some simple and fun exercises to build those skills. I have a free creativity planner that is loaded with ideas and inspiration. Go to paint33.com/planner. It has quick and easy to do daily exercises. It will help you get your creative juices flowing and give you many ideas to rev up your drawing skills, which are foundational for realistic painting. Again, go to paint33.com/planner. You will also be the first to hear about other things that are happening in my studio. I'd love to see you there so that I can share more tips. So go to paint33.com/planner and get your free planner today.
Welcome back to episode 164 of the Artist Friends podcast for September the 12th, 2022. And we're talking about the art market. What is the art market? Okay, let's shift. Now, here you are, you're an artist starting out, and you see all these things going on. So, well, you know, I don't know anybody, any person in that high gallery and, you know, that fancy gallery, and I don't know that. How am I going to be successful? How am I going to be a successful artist? And the other videos that I recommended kind of explain that a little bit. And I really like, it was a video from Rafi where they talked about, you know, certain, art mentors or art coaches are jerks that, you don't necessarily
can be,
or can be jerks, you know, and that you don't necessarily have to fall into their definition, as an art career. In fact, you can, and I'm a strong believer in this because I've done this. I've actually done this. You can create your own art career and your own art market. Yeah. You don't have to, necessarily, follow the route that, others have followed. In fact, I am no way, as far as I know, ever going to be involved with the Metropolitan Art Museum in New York, or any of those big galleries. I don't know if I would. I'm not going to say never, but right now.
Yeah, you should never say never.
I don't know anyone. I'm not reaching out to those, not attempting to reach out to those people, but I am pursuing my own art career in my own way, in my own art market. In fact, I'm going to my next blog post. I'm working on the big thing that you will hear represent art coaches and art mentors talk about. And it used to be a really big thing a few years ago was art representation, to be represented by a gallery. That was always the big deal for an artist to get into a gallery and to be represented by, you have your artwork represented by that gallery. The standard traditional way, when Diane mentioned gatekeepers, there's quite a few gatekeepers getting you in there, and those can be rather expensive, you know. But the 21st century way is I'm represented by three art galleries, and didn't even intend to do that. But there are three online art galleries that represent me, and it wasn't intentional. It just kind of sort of happened by entering these online contests and everything and answering emails, and one thing led to another. And I said, oh, okay. Wow. I'm represented in an art gallery. So in essence, I created my own art market. Yeah. And Diane, what's your thoughts about that?
Well, like I said, it used to be that you didn't really have any other options other than going to galleries.
Yeah,
sell your work. There was no internet. There was, you know, there was no way really of getting anywhere unless you had a gallery representing you. There was no co-op galleries even. They were just on, you know, nothing like that. So, but you know, now everything's changed. Like a lot of galleries have gone out of business because of that reason. You know, with the internet coming out and artists being able to show their work everywhere on the internet. Yeah. And you know, you don't really need a gallery anymore to be able to have a successful career. I mean, you're probably not going to get to sell your work in Sotheby's or Christie's Auction House by showing stuff online, but you might. I mean, there's not like a definite gatekeeper anymore. It's,
right.
Know, and you have a lot more opportunity to be in contact with other artists and other gallery owners and shakers and makers in the art, you know, industry. But you don't have to either. So it's there's so many more opportunities now. It's just crazy. You know, to think it was maybe about 10, 15 years ago that things really switched. And artists are really representing themselves now.
Sergio's one of the videos from Sergio Gomez really kind of brings that up. That you can create your own art career.
You know, I didn't really stop to think about all the things that I've done since I've been an artist that I didn't count as something that I did that was probably one of those things you should mention in a resume or things like that. You know, and I, after watching his particular one, I thought, well, I've shown it a lot of places and I've been in a lot of art fairs and I've been a teacher. I taught children art and I taught ladies. I used to have a ladies group and I taught art that way. You know, so it's not like I haven't, you know, I just, you know, you forget about some of that stuff you've done, you know.
Yeah, because unfortunately, you know, the way it was several years ago, that was not considered important. That was, unless you are in this association or this particular gallery or this particular group, then you're nobody. You don't have a career. Well, that's not true anymore. That's not true at all. You know, you can have very successful career. Now, I'm not talking about monetary. It depends. You have to, it's like Sergio emphasizes this and Raph, they also talk about this. You have to sit down and really think about what you want to accomplish and then come up with a strategy to go after it. If you want to sell your art, you want to sell quite a bit of art, there's ways to do that, but it takes a lot of work. None of this is going to come easy.
No, none of it comes easy. If you think this is an easy career, you need to think twice before you get started in it.
Well, I mean, the change in the gallery system has happened, mm-hmm. but the even if you get a gallery to represent you nowadays, they expect you to do a lot of the work. You know, a lot of the advertising, they expect you to do, you know, more than, like years ago, they would represent you and they would take care of all the advertising. They would take care of all the marketing. Mm-hmm. They would do all that. They would pay for your paintings to be shipped and all the, everything. But little by little, they started doing less and less and expecting the artists to do more and more. And now it's kind of flipped and the artists are really expected to do a still big portion of that.
They want to get their 30 or their 50%, you know, the sell price for.
Well, it is expensive to keep it a storefront, you know, and have employees and keep the lights on and all, you know, the expenses as far as having it like a brick and mortar store. So, you know, and they do work that, you know, and that, you know, so you are paying that when they're taking a portion of what you're selling your paintings for through them. But if you sell it, you can take that same painting and sell it online through your own website, you don't have to, you know, share it with the gallery. You know, all that money becomes yours, but you put a lot more work in to get it sold, you know, whereas with the gallery, they're doing some of the work. So it's kind of, you know, you can do it either way or both ways, really.
Like I mentioned, the 21st century version of gallery representation. There's a gallery, it's an online gallery out in California. I guess they're based in California. They're called Art Shows International. And I'm part of their artists that they feature on their website and in their social media profiles. And they have monthly contests that, you know, I enter in and they, they don't do as much because they have several hundred, you know, artists. But like last month, out of the blue, all of a sudden I got featured on their Instagram site. They sent me an email. Hey, look what we did. Wow. Yeah. And I've been with them for almost a year now, you know, so they slowly get around to you, you know? And so that's the gallery. And then the folks over in Switzerland, the art Boxy Art Projects folks. And, you know, every month my artwork is shown on their big digital screens, you know, and there's no way I could do that, the traditional method of framing and shipping the art over there and then having it shipped back. And all of these art shows, international art Boxy, they don't take any commission. If you sell, if somebody's interested in buying your work, they forward the information to you. Let you and the buyer negotiate, you know, the price. So they don't take anything, you know, for their activities. And I'm also part of, I'm waiting for them to open, have their show opening, those Bridget's mini art show, you know, mini art show work or whatever. They're getting ready to open. I'm going to be featured. I'm one of their artists, you know, in their normal lineup. So, these are three online art galleries that are associated with physical galleries because they, you know, and I'm represented. And it's like, it hit me the other day and I was thinking about it. I said, wow, slowly snowballed one thing after another, you know, started working.
Well, that's one of the things though. All this takes a lot of persistence. You have to keep going at it. You have to keep showing up and showing your work and keep, you know, entering things. And, you know, sometimes it seems like nothing's happening at all. And then all of a sudden you get into a show or whatever, but it does take a lot of persistence and you have to have a thick skin as far as, you know, not taking it hard if you don't get accepted into a show or whatever.
Put a posting on my Facebook page about the Camelback Gallery. That's a big online gallery. Plus they have a physical gallery connected with them and they do a lot. I mean, a lot of promotion for artists, you know, and everything. And they have monthly contests. Now for about the past 2 years, I'm on their emailing list. So I always get an email in advance of when their next contest, you know, what it's going to be. I've entered about five different times, never ever got accepted. Each time there was a $20 application fee, so that's $20 in for two images, you know, to be entered, two pieces of work to be entered. Never got accepted, so that's $20 gone. This last month, I got the notice about the Still Life contest, so I entered again. I got accepted. It took six times. But I got accepted and was awarded what they call their bronze award because they have the first place, second place, and they call gold and silver and bronze. And that's each gallery has their own setup, you know, and was just flabbergasted because I've never got accepted by those folks, you know, and they have some very talented international artists from all over the world.
A lot of times it's just about the judge or judges, and exactly. They probably got used to seeing your work finally, you know, and decided, well, you know, this guy's not, you know, just a flash in the pan. He's been doing it all this time, but it can just be the smallest change that you can get selected to get in, you know. So that's,
you know, yeah. And we've talked,
when I first started, I got my feelings hurt when I didn't get accepted to something. But then as I've grown older and learned that, just because you don't get accepted doesn't mean your work is not good. It just means that you didn't fit in their show, basically, for the most part.
And I emphasize with my posting on Facebook is it's consistently working, be persistent and never give up and keep trying and you will win in the end. Sometimes it may take you 7, 8, 9, 10 times, but you will win in the end, you know? And, so, it was just, you know, very, Very exciting. And it's encouraged me. They got another contest coming up next month. I might enter it again. Yeah, enter it. now that I've been accepted one time. Yeah. And the funny thing about it is I enter in different online gallery contests, juried contests. And I picked what's called an international. So I'm going up against the world, you know, other artists around the world. And what is so funny sometimes, and I've had that theory that we talked, you know, about you never know what the jury is, so true, because I've entered the exact same piece in three different contests, been accepted by two and rejected by a third one. Why? And it's the exact same piece of artwork. Mm-hmm. So you never know that maybe they had too many fall scenes. So, you know, too many landscape.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier. You just can't take it personally.
And so I just, you know, each month I slowed down. I used to enter about anywhere between 6 and 7 contests each month, but I slowed down. Now I got maybe 2 or 3 that are my favorites that I pick with, you know, I stay that.
Well, see, that's another cog in the wheel that you know about now. I mean, when you first get started, you don't know these things, but as you get more seasoned as an artist, you learn that, you know, hanging in there and, you know, you learn which places to sign up,
but when you talk
and which places not to.
But when you talk about the art market, that's my art market. I've created my own, you know, art market, because these are things that, you know, are adding to my artist resume, you know, and a built, you know, building up, and I like the competition, because entering in these galleries, online gallery contests, it's like you encounter some of the same artists. And so like there's four artists, I recognize their names, that I see them in all the different, you know, that I'm kind of like up against, you know, and these are, I mean, they're very, very good. You know, they're very talented. And when I get accepted in the same category as them at the same level, it makes my ego really, it makes me feel really good. Yeah. Cause you know, so hey, I'm as good as that artist. Cool. You know, it's a way to keep me going, to keep me working on the art. If I don't have as many sales, then okay, I'm going to participate in the contest. And this is my own art market of the making, you know, type thing. And any other comments here, Constance and Diane, you want to add to this?
Yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, trying to get into the market and selling your work, if you're going and, you know, entering contests and shows and things like that, it takes a while to get to know which shows are good for your work. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to be painting, you don't want to change your painting to try to fit into a show.
Right.
You want to paint your, you know, whatever you're into, paint your paintings or do your artwork, and then try to find where it will fit. And sometimes it takes a while to find those places, you know, and it does take a lot of research and looking at who they have represented in the past, and you know, just trying to figure out where you fit.
Absolutely. And it's like you know, Rafi and their, you know, their video about instead of trying to follow, you know, you will talk to different quote, you will hear different art and they will say, well, you have to create a series where you have to create this particular style of artwork, or you have to. What you ought to do is just do what makes you happy. Paint what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. And let the stuff fly by the side, and you will come of age of your own with your own art. You will find that you will find your market. You will create your own art market.
You'll fit in somewhere eventually.
it won't be like, it may not end up in the, like Christie's or Sotheby's, but hey,
You never know.
Or be in a museum, but you never know. Eventually, you may not see it in your lifetime. It may happen later on.
Yes. So it's just a matter of persistent and doing the painting and creating what makes you happy and what you feel satisfied with. I think with that, we will end this episode of the Artist Friends Podcast, episode 164 for September the 12th, 2022. And we've been talking about the art market and as artists, what it means to us. And I've been talking with Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson, my two best artist friends. I'm going to say goodnight to Diane and Constance.
Good night, Clyde. Good night, Constance. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Clyde. Good night, Diane. Good night, y'all. And thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, bye.
The Artist Friends Podcast is produced and edited by Clyde J. Kale. Participating artists, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson and Clyde J. Kale. You can find more information about Diane Hunt at www.dianehuntstudio.com. Constance Bronson at www.etsy.com/shop/CBROSNANS. Clyde J. Kale at www.cjkaleartworks.com. If you would like to participate or appear as a guest on the Artist Friends Podcast, please email cjkale@mystery-otr.com. If you enjoy these podcasts, please give us a thumbs up or a star rating. And most of all, send us your comments. This podcast is issued under the Creative Commons license.